Hello and welcome back. I'm Georgia Fraser. It's time for Emojo Injection, episode 198. Woohoo! Where does the time go? How can we slow it down? Today I'm speaking about a key piece of research I was sent last week that's hit the press today in time for Mental Health Awareness Week. I'm being very open and honest about my own story, to do the wee bit to smash the stigma, and I really, really hope this helps in some way, shape or form. It's funny because before 2020, when I never really experienced any kind of like serious big trauma, the word triggered didn't mean potentially getting really unwell to me. The word triggered would be things like if I saw injustice, if I saw unfairness, if people were excluded, if I could see others in pain, that would really trigger me in terms of I would get upset or I would speak out or I'd feel really deeply, but I'd never get unwell. So obviously I'm talking about smashing stigma and what we can do to help people and seeing things from both sides today, but of course, if you are triggered, you have to put yourself first. If you've ever been triggered from someone else's illness, from someone else's trauma, then you have to just know when to take distance. And I know that's really, really hard because you might really want to help people, but you have to help yourself first. So just a reminder of that. Look after yourself. Know your triggers. If you have ever been, just be so careful. Learn the triggers. I'm new to all this trigger chat. But get it now. So shout out to anyone who's been triggered, shout out to anyone who relates to anything I'm saying, but the key message we must take away is that shame's killing loads of people and we need more compassion, we need more love, and in a world that can feel dark and freaking just mental, it's love and light that is going to win in the end. And we'll get there. We'll get there bit by bit. So let's jump in, guys. I hope this really helps. Please share with anyone you think it will help too. And let's keep talking. Okay, let's do it. Oh, and welcome back. It's so nice to have you here. I hope you're doing good. Did you see the Northern Lights? Is there a support group anywhere for those of us that didn't get to see them? Actually, did get to see them, thanks to my neighbour who I was about to fall asleep. And the neighbour was sent a text, get in the garden. Oh, who'd have thought? Amazing, amazing stuff. But yeah, there was a lot of chat about that the weekend. If you seemed to be everywhere, so I hope you got to see them. And if not, I hope you get to see them soon. But that's the exciting thing about life, right? We don't know what we're going to get. I did watch Forrest Gump the other day. It's maybe why that came out with that. We never know. Where did that accent come from? Mom says. No. I'm not even going to try that. but we never know what we're going to get. And we need to stay hopeful and be good to each other through the tough times as well. And it's Mental Health Awareness Week, so obviously there'll be a lot of chat about that. The theme is movement, which we know is great for the mental health, but we need to remember to move our mouths too and talk, right? An open and honest conversation can be great for smashing stigma and giving comfort. But I was sent some new research last week and it hits the press today. So I put some stuff on my blog about it today. And obviously here in the Mojo Den, so that I can try and do my wee bit to normalise these conversations. I want to be like the voice of a friendly nurse that I would want as a patient. So I hope and pray it helps you. But we need to talk. And what this research is saying is it's groundbreaking research. Brand new study showing the correlation between hypersexuality and bipolar, which should hopefully help with diagnosis because it's taken at least 8.5 years to diagnose, or 9.5 years actually, all the stats are in the blog. And that is a long time. We're talking 800,000 people-ish in the UK. And for me, I got a diagnosis of bipolar 1 shortly before my 40th birthday. And at first I was like, I wasn't sure what to make of the new information. I still probably wasn't that great when they told me as well. It was a bit pie in the sky, but why had it not been picked up sooner? Also, I'm a people pleaser, so all my life I've been told I think of others sometimes too much. I need to put myself more and I'm too nice. But I love making people happy, and was bipolar not the opposite? Also, all the times I'd been called larger than life, crazy, carefree, was it simply an illness and not my personality? I was confused. Some said I wasn't manic, it was a spiritual awakening, and at times that is exactly what it felt like. I continued to see the number 42 everywhere, and it was freaking me out. Each time I checked a clock, I went to write an email, like an important one. Word counts on writing pieces, it was 42. That's meant to be the number for awakening, right? There were songs I felt had been sent just for me. There were random emails with messages. There was a heart-shaped crisp. People were like, yeah, whatever. I'm like, there's a picture. Bonnie's my witness. Sun beaming crazy in the window when I decided to sing a famous Tina Turner song. She passed a few days later. The beaming feeling, the light, it was so bright. I saw someone talking to themselves in hospital, and I sat and listened quietly, and I heard a female voice with a strong southern accent, like I'd tapped into another plane, and I could hear who they were talking to, a whole new dimension and vibration. I felt like my intuition was through the roof. I won't list all the stuff, but let's just say I was overwhelmed. I didn't know who to trust, and it's still taking me time to work out what's me, what's the illness, how I can stay well. Is there a chance I would never have been diagnosed if I wasn't triggered enough to go manic? Absolutely. What can I do to stay stable? Because people can be stable for very, very long periods of time. I laugh when I remember my psychiatrist's words. She said, Jojo, bipolar 1 really is a pit. It's awful. It's a really horrible illness. Whoa, frank words. And I'm a glass half full person. So I replied, well, we just need to find a way to manage this thing then, I guess. Her response was then more hopeful, and she went on to tell me that lots of patients are living really great quality lives, long lives, happy lives, but the key barrier will always be stigma and shame. People might joke and say things to you like, babe, stay out of trouble, with a clear lack of understanding that bipolar is an illness that if it flares up into mania, you will have no control. It's not a choice. Even if you're a mega people pleaser, your mind breaks. And if they can't see that and get their head around that, then it's not your issue, but boy, does it still hurt. I hope the podcast is of comfort and the blog. And I want to remind you that if you're losing hope, that's totally understandable. It sucks. Shame sucks. Guilt sucks. But it's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's not my fault. It's no one's fault. You know, you often ask in life, why me? But I want to remind you of some of the things that you can look forward to if time's tough now, or in the future if times are tough, just to remember these things, all right? You know, new music. Music has got me through some of the hardest times, and I have felt it like never before when I've been unwell. You get to go to new gigs, new concerts, new songs. I hope you stay in the car till it finishes on the radio. To see your family grow, be that kids, siblings, parents, simple things like seeing your kid do something and they're brave and you want to hug them, and oh my goodness, there's so much love to be had. To laugh until you cry. Like, I remember the first time I really laughed when I felt like I was getting to myself again. I was like, oh, this is actually real laughter, and it's me. It's me, the me I know, who's laughing. Finding new hobbies. Maybe getting to see your dog try ice cream or ice lollies for the first time. I don't actually know what our dog prefers. He loves both. He's obsessed. He gets so excited when he sees him holding one. And I find it hard on a hot day to share the clip. Well, I'm not going to lie. I find it hard to share. It was bad enough with Charlie, always trying to steal them off me. But now I've got Prince. To help others through your story, stargazing, Northern Lights the other day, cloud watching, swimming in the sea, having a nice bath and then getting into fresh sheets, receiving thoughtful cards or gifts, the smell before and after it rains, dreams that make you smile, when you're driving and that song comes on, the peace that comes from forgiveness, spending a whole day in bed or days in bed, water balloon fights, cuddles, non-stingy ovvies, thunderstorms, road trips, the feeling of soft sand on your feet, roller coasters, fast or slow, I'm fast, your favourite meal, Christmas time, the days when you feel calm and like yourself, days you can be proud for hanging on. Please hang on. Please hang on. I know it's hard, but you've got this. You do have this. And when there's research like what's coming out today, you know, it's for the first time this was by a researcher who actually has bipolar herself. And the key information is all about, you know, this link to hypersexuality, bipolar, understanding how we can sort of diagnose people sooner. And yeah, there's just so much research there. Hundreds and thousands of people in the UK could be experiencing periods of hypersexual behaviour, taking risks, life-changing consequences, really, really embarrassing themselves. And it's Dr. Claire Dolman. She's the lead researcher in this and the co-chair of the Bipolar Commission, who herself has bipolar. And they spent time to do this study to try and break down the stigma so that if people are doing things totally out of character and they are mortified, they're trying to show that this is a condition. This is not a lifestyle choice. This is not a bad behaviour when you say to people, behave, be good. This is an illness. And whether or not you're struggling and crazy things have happened and you're struggling to put psychology and spirituality together, there's absolutely no doubt that there is a mental illness in here. There's something, the mind breaks, it doesn't work, and it does not work for society. You know, if you're living in a freedom camp, you can walk around naked, there'll be no judgment, there'll be no control, you can say what you want as long as it's not super nasty, but you can be with the fairies, you can hear voices and not be embarrassed to say that, you can totally be free. But in society, we have to kind of, yeah, make sure people are safe, because society and mental health and mental illness, yep, it's not good. And people want to protect their dignity and they want to protect their privacy. And we need to do more and we need to kind of help people more. So what can we do to help people? You know, if they're in the crisis of the mind, right, and they've given you the overshare of the century, or they've tried to jump off because they think they can fly, which is obviously very dangerous, need to go to hospital straight away if it's some kind of physical delusion like that. You know, it doesn't help that there's so much content now telling us to be delusional to fulfill our dreams. That doesn't really go with bipolar. There needs to be a kind of support network for that and a way to keep that safe. How can we dream big with illnesses like bipolar? It's not always safe, is it? And more research like this help. But what can we do? Unless you've been totally triggered and you need to distance yourself for your mental health while someone's not well, what can we do? Well, first of all, don't be a dick. I've seen people that are like, I'm never talking to them again because they said this or they said that. And I'm like, yeah, but they weren't well. Like, they didn't mean that. Would they say that if they were well? No. So you should talk to them again. Were they good to you when they were well? Well, you should talk to them again. That's you just being a dick. That's your ego and stubborn and pride. There are dicks out there and you can be so nice to people when you're well. But if you could say something out of character and they're like, that's it, well, I would encourage you. It's really, really hard because you feel so much shame and guilt anyway. That's why the suicide rates are so high, because people feel guilt and shame. And if you do have people in there that kind of make it all about them, an illness, all about them, then that is really freaking hard. And I would just say, be strong and be around the helpers, the people that say to you, no judgment, doesn't matter what you did then, I love you. I know who you are. I know you're a good person. I'm saying this to you. I know you're a good person. I know you don't want to hurt anyone. I know you didn't mean to hurt anyone. I know this illness fucking sucks. And I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. But you're strong. You're brave. The people that keep close, you know, close and they genuinely care, know who you are, just cherish them. If you've triggered someone and you feel awful, just have to give them space and hope that they're okay. And whatever it is you've said that's triggered. And you might think you're doing the nicest thing and that's so hard. That's the delusion side of it. Because you'd be like, you may feel like someone's like coming to your body. And that's what it's felt like for me at times when I've been really unwell. Someone's coming to my body and it's like, you. This is what you're going to do. You're going to say this, you're going to say that, you're going to do that. And you've no control. It's like someone else there. It's a crazy thing. And I know you'll get this if you've had a sort of intense manic experience, but you can't, someone else is ruling the show. And it's crazy. It's like someone else has come into your body and you're sort of watching, but it lies to you as well. And then you might go, oh, I've upset someone. Oh, maybe I'm not well. And the illness is like, no, you are well. You are well. You must say this. You must do this, whatever. And it's like the illness, no, you're not unwell. You're not unwell. This needs to happen. It's like a spirit in there saying to you, this needs to happen. It's the most crazy thing, but it's the hangover from hell when you come back to yourself. You've been hit by a truck 100 miles an hour and you just... That should be the time that you're nurtured and cared for. But then on top of that, you may have people that are like, do you remember you did that? Behave, you're a dick, whatever. Saying things to you. And that's horrible. That exists. People are like that. There are really judgmental people who don't really want to take the time to understand mental illness. And I would just say to you to try and let that wash over you. And as I say, focus on the helpers. Focus on the small amounts of self-care. Focus on that list that I read out. And just really, really be freaking kind to yourself. There's so many things that we can have to look forward to. There's so many glimmers of hope in life if we just choose to see them. The smallest things, some days you'll have really big, exciting things, but just whatever they are, just really try and focus on them and love yourself and find your safe space, find your people. Find your open-minded people, find your compassionate people, and helping others as well. Because you know how it feels if you've been through it, right? You get it, you understand it. Do your bit to kind of, smash that freaking stigma, because it's not nice. But, you know, with bipolar can come a lack of boundaries, be that sexually, be that with money. You know, I've had people say to me, can I get some money? And I'll be like, yeah, take my card. Oh, I don't have my card because I'm in hospital. But I would give everything in that state. You know, it's so free. I would just, it's so free. So you need that protection, right? You need that protection. So just make sure people get that protection. And when they are well again, make sure you celebrate with them and you just cherish every single day. Because it's a process, it's a journey, it's an experience. But with the right help and with the right support, you can get through. You can live a happy, long life. You can start to see your triggers, notice them. And just shame. Chisel away at shame, because that's the real killer. That's the suicide causer. It's shame. Shame sucks. Shame is a freaking demon, but we're stronger than that. So focus on the light, focus on the mojo injections, a mojo injection of compassion and love and real care, self-care and understanding and empathy and knowledge, and knowledge is power. So this new research is power because it's going to give more of a leeway. Maybe the judgmental dicks who just want to judge, maybe they'll read the research and go, all right, okay, maybe they were unwell, maybe they didn't mean that, maybe I was a dick. Don't be a dick, be nice. Judge less, love more. It's what we always say here, right? Judge less, love freaking more. So let's do that. You deserve to be here if you've been through this and you felt shame, you deserve to be here, you deserve all the things on that list and more, all the things that would make you happy. And I pray for you that you get that. And for any friends and family who have found it hard, I just want to encourage you. Thank you for all of you who are cheerleaders and who are compassionate and who are open-minded and who are patient. Because what I find is the people I've met with illnesses like bipolar are so creative, so caring, so nice. They get a bit lost and confused, but they're, oh my goodness, they just blow me away. And it's a real privilege to have met so many people who have struggled with their mind, whatever way. I just feel so much compassion and understanding now. And yeah, let's spread more love. These are the kind of things that make a difference, right? Not just posting some random quote on Mental Health Awareness Week with no action. We need to take action. We need to talk. We need to check in on people. We need to judge less. We need to not be afraid of the stuff that society tells us is scary. Not be afraid of that. Check in on people a few months. Check in on people when they're in recovery, because that's a really hard time, because when they're a pie in the sky, they're not going to remember everything. But checking in on people in recovery when they're back down to earth, when they're back grounded, because that's a really high risk time, right? It's a really high risk time for shame and blame and guilt. So check in on people, show love. Don't be afraid as well, because I know it is awkward. It can be awkward. You'd be like, oh, do you remember that time you called me and you were rambling all this conspiracy theory or whatever you said? All right, okay, I knew you weren't yourself, just checking you're okay. How are you doing now? Remember the people. Remember all the nice things they've done for you before they took on well. Don't be afraid to check in and just normalise it. Normalise these conversations. It's so important. I can't emphasise enough how important it is just to lose the ego with these things. So I'm sending you lots of love, and let's have a wee song, because music is key and it's a lifesaver and I love it. But I'm sending all that love and good vibes to you, and thank you for being here. Thank you for smashing stigma. Thank you for judging less and loving more. And thank you for just being a freaking diamond. I'm going to speak to you soon, and I'll put some quotes. There was a really nice quote I found, actually. I'll share on my Facebook at Jojo Fraser Mojo and on my Insta about just compassion and finding that from people and that understanding, because there's nothing better when you feel like you're in a judgment-free space. So find those conversations. Don't be afraid to have them, and let the judgy people in the corner who just want to gossip and bitch about you and laugh about you, it's their thing, babe. No other song I could recommend this week for your playlist than the absolute iconic Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd. Oh my goodness, from teenage years listening to these guys to my hardest times, and this electric guitar. Oh, this song is just absolutely stunning. It's, I don't even know where to start describing it, but it is like the proper mojo injection in a shot. Just play this. It's a bit like a spiritual experience, this song. It's just beautiful. It's absolutely stunning. The final guitar solo. Oh, you just don't want it to end. You don't want it to end. It's timeless. Staggeringly beautiful. And everyone should listen to it. Yeah. This one, I would definitely stay in the car until it finished. rocking right out. Right, guys, thanks for tuning in. Be kind to yourself, be kind to each other, loved ones, and yeah, we're all fighting our own little demons, often alone. There's so much we never share, but even sharing a little bit can help. So keep sharing. Go and put that tune on and totally rock out. It's your God-given right. See you soon.